Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to deal with Theocentric Counseling Session 2, The God of Hope and Help. Now listen, this is very similar to Session 1, but different. And, you know, there's the manifold grace of God. That means the many-sided. It's kind of like a flower. A flower, really, and I love flowers, and I plant them and deal with them and so forth around my house. And a flower isn't really a flower without all the petals. I mean, you can get a rose. If all you have is one petal, it does not show the brilliance of that rose, the beauty, the fullness of that rose. Yet, that one petal is still part of the rose, and that one petal is beautiful, and that one petal represents. So for, you know, as a new believer, we may have a petal or two. And the more we grow in grace, we add petals to the development of our experience of that larger rose, that larger manifold grace of God. So the many-sided working of the grace of God, there's different kinds of miracles, different kinds of answers. I mean, looking from the Old Testament to the New, you see tremendous developments in what Moses needed. He needed an entire, you know, sea divided so they can take 1,800,000 people across and be delivered from Pharaoh. Now that's massive deliverance and demonstrated the power of God. You know, Lazarus was raised from the dead by the power of God. Blind men could see. Now, there's also time that wisdom was needed. Even when Elijah in the Old Testament, you know, that's a great study, Elijah. Elijah, great prophet of God, calls down the fire, you know, triumphs to the glory of God over the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel's going to come after him. And of course, you know, he's all of a sudden he's filled with fear and he runs. And he's running away from the situation. And as he's running away from the situation, you know what he does? He dismisses his servant. You know, that's what happens a lot of times when people get depressed. Even leaders, when you're getting depressed, people get depressed. They're wanting to get alone, get away from everybody. And that's what depression sometimes does. It moves you to get alone. And that's what Elijah was doing. He was getting alone, running way out there, exhausting himself. Matter of fact, he got so far out there, finally he cried out to God. You know what he said? He didn't say, God, you're the hope of all hope, and I trust in you. You know what he said? He said, I had enough, and I want to die. That's Elijah, the great prophet of God. And I think sometimes Christians are so hard on themselves. And they don't know how to just surrender to God, come back to God and say, God, I have, you know, I just need your mercy. I need your grace. You know, I'm not very clearly, this is not a perfectionist-oriented walk with you. It's not about performance. And so a relationship with God. And let me tell you something. God is the God of hope. He's the source. We talked last time of compassion. But here, out of another great favorite verse, I usually sign this verse to all my emails and letters and so forth, Romans 15:13. And may I just say it for you, the listener, the student, or the colleague, or whoever may eventually. Again, I found these MP3s that have been turned into CDs, and they've gotten a number of different people in different ways. And I thank the Lord for that. That's exactly how we've prayed that things would happen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, I can just take a look at this verse right here and just look again at the nature of God, not only the existence, but the nature of God again and the activity, the goal that God has, what it is that God offers. Now listen, in all the counseling issues, you know, people need hope. The world needs hope. I've seen great evangelistic campaigns. Christ, the hope of the United States. Christ, the hope of our city. Christ, the hope of young people. Well, that's true. He is the great hope. And when you talk about hope, it's not the earthly sense, man, I really hope that the late night burger place is open. I'm not sure that it is, but I hope it is because I'm hungry and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm all the way home from work and I hope that it's open, not knowing for sure or not. Now, there's a lot of things we do in life where we say, man, I really hope this works out. I hope that works out, whatever else. There's a sense of, I wish that it would. I wish that things would. Whereas in the concept of this biblical hope, this Greek word behind our English word here, hope, I kind of define it this way. From my background of studies in Greek, is defined in this way. An assured, optimistic, and indefeatable hope. I've called it divine optimism, an assured occurrence. I have hope in the second coming of Christ. It's the blessed hope. It's not because I hope he really does come. It's because my hope says that he is coming. Biblical hope. Romans 8 shares the same concept. It is a hope that is based on assured fact. And that's what Paul is talking about here. A divine optimism. A divine assurance. May the God of what? The God of hope. The God of optimism. The God that has answers that span all problems. If there is a billion problems, there is an infinite number of answers. When you think in terms of the attributes of God, and God is infinite. See, our problem is that we create... I mean, we might experience four or five things from God and stop right there and tell everybody, well, this is what God does. He does these five things. And absolutely true, he does these five things, but he does 500,000 other things that we've closed him off. You know, in the Old Testament, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. We find in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus going to a certain area, and he couldn't do very many miracles there. They absolutely refused in unbelief to receive him and have him do his work. And listen, doubt. Look at James chapter 1. Let not that person think they'll receive anything from the Lord. So when we talk about our relationship with God, the God of hope, God is infinite. He has this in salvation that he's offered to the world, that he would redeem the world, that he wills that none would perish, that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants to save. God sent forth his Son in the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:17. When you look at the existence of God, we also now look at the nature of God, which we saw in our last session. And we're going to see again here, because when you talk about the nature of God, you're dealing with attributes. And we have the privilege of getting up, in a sense, on the lap of God the Father and looking and gazing into his face, gazing into his eyes, gazing into his attributes. That's how I look at it. As my little daughter used to get up on my lap and look at my face and touch my eye and ear. And she'd touch my ear and say ear and touch my eye and say eye. She'd touch my eyebrow and say eyebrow. She'd touch my nose, say nose, teeth. She would eventually begin to count. And I just allowed her. Man, I loved it. I love this little baby daughter, you know, just crawling all over me and saying this and, you know, and face. And then every so often she'd just throw her arms around me and hug me. And I'd hug her. And we would just have a great time together. I hope you understand that God is relational. God is the greatest relational being, the Father. As a human father, I try to be the best I can. But I know God the Father is the greatest Father in existence. I don't project human fatherhood up on God. I say that we should look at the fatherhood of God and learn as human fathers the attributes of what he is. So I think that when you look at the infinity of God, the immeasurability of God, the power of God, those are tremendous attributes. And I look at them and sometimes I just want to hug God and say, God, this blows my mind. You are so big. You are so vast. You are so awesome. Jesus, what you did is so great. But God is the God of hope also. He's the God of hope. Hope is needed in lives, depressed people, marriages, single people, people at work, people that have diseases, people that have voices in their heads. Gosh, so many people over the years, thousands of people have come through the offices. And in our commitment in counseling, it's been that, hey, you know, out on the field, you know, sitting at McDonald's, sitting on a park bench, in a home. I've done many counseling sessions in a home, many counseling sessions, you know, in the church. in an office, out in the field. There's times I've counseled people inside of a big old rock and roll biker bar where we're out evangelizing, sharing Christ, and I ended up with the individuals that had trouble and pain in their life. And I can tell you again, a person after person in there that would just cry and talk about their problems and couldn't believe that we were in there to try to minister to them. But you know why I was in there? Because I believe that God's grace go to the highways and byways. And I think sometimes you can step outside, you know, like bars close at 2 a.m, I guess, or whatever it is nowadays, that if you had a booth out somewhere and set up a place where it says, hey, here is hope for your problems, I'm sure a lot of people would come. If you had a crisis phone line and said hope for and answers for your problems, obviously people are going to call and check in and look for the answers for their lives. And rightly so. So let's take a look on page 6 now of Theocentric Counseling Session 2, The God of Hope and Help. Now, I've given you this verse 13, Romans 15. May the God of Hope... Now, listen, hear the questions simply this way. Let me just ask the questions. And again, if you want to shut off or put on pause right now and come back to my side of it later, and just ask the Lord, the God of Hope, to speak to you. And as you go through the questions, what is in God's nature? 2, what is the goal of God in your life? Question 3, what are the qualities, the effects of this in your life? What are, like, joy and peace? What are the effects of that in your life as a person? Question 4, what is your part? Question 5, what is the result that embeds, that literally comes to be a part of you, embeds in your character through this process? And by what power is all this able to come across? So when you begin to look at all these questions right here, again, if you needed to turn off, that's fine, and come back, that's fine too. And if you've come back now after you've gone through, maybe God is, again, going to apply some things. It's like a sermon. There's times a preacher will get up and preach this major sermon that they're going in one direction, but in the context of the miracle of that message, if it's biblically preached by the Spirit of God, God is able to spin off so many other portions of the message in individual ways to a large crowd, so that someone will say, man, you really, you had this, you knew my problem directly. I don't know, I can tell you how many times over the years people have come and said, you knew exactly what was going on in my life. How did you know? And they might say a certain portion of my message, which was a really, 2% of the message. And for them, that 2% was the 100. I mean, it was the thing that impacted them. And God is able to take it and do that. And so that's why I think it's very important for us to know that God goes way beyond us as we minister and share and do things because of who He is. He is the God of hope. He is the God of ultimate hope. He is the hope of the world. The cross is the glimmer, is the shining example of that. The death, the resurrection from the dead, blasting apart the finality of death. So, let's go over the questions. What is in God's nature? Well, goodness. God is good, obviously. But God is the God of hope. May the God of hope, not only is He the Father of compassion, as we already saw, the God of all comfort, He is the God of hope, that of assured answers, of assured optimism, the promise of indefeatable, being indefeatable. And so when I think in terms, again, of this word, as you try to define it from the Greek, it has this idea, again, of there's an assured, factual, answers behind biblical hope. He is the God of hope. It's not a hope in hope. It's not a blind hope. It's a hope in assured facts. And so when we talk about, and I'll kind of define it this way as I read it. May the God of divine optimism, a divine assuredness, fill you. Now notice this. This goes right into questions 2 and 3 too. What is the goal of God, the God of hope, in your life? According to this verse anyway. Now, you know what Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life, right? Well, first he says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And you're going to hear me say later in these sessions that under pain and problems, that humankind, it's not just our pain and problems. There is a dark force, a real Satan, real demons, real activity. And prophetically, we see a ramping up of all of it. And so we know that there's also, that side of people's issues. Job had problems, and those problems came directly from satanic attack. Ephesians 6 speaks about that. So, in the context of that, which we'll deal with next time, is the God of hope. No matter what it may be, God has divine optimism, assuredness about the issues, about help, about reaching down and grabbing. That's why I like to look at Psalm 18 and read it again and again and again, because a person there cries out their problem. Their problem is too big. He's going to mention, my foes are too big, the enemies are too much. But he makes God his refuge, and God literally splits the skies. We get this picture of God running down to help him, and he's helped, and he's strengthened, and he's built up. And instead of staggering and being on the ground, he's up ready to scale a wall. He's ready to leap and to run. And we see this demonstration there. And why do we call on God? Well, because of hope. I hope that God hears me. No, yeah, in this sense, I'm assured that he does. If I say God is my hope in many different aspects, because he's the forgiver of my sin, the giver of the gift of eternal life, the helper in my life, and all those are assured facts and issues. When Paul says, may the God of hope, the backdrop of that is nothing's impossible with God. That God is able, that God has power. This is revealed in Romans chapter 4 concerning Abraham. Against all hope, in hope, he believed. Now, isn't that a tremendous phrase? I mean, you read there in chapter 4, rather, in Romans. You read concerning Abraham, against all hope, as far as human hope, as far as human ability, as far as human answers, obviously. Against all of that comes what? Against all human hope, in hope, he believed God. Even though his body was past the birthing, his wife's year, her body was past, pregnancy years, and all that, against all the scientific hope, against all the experiential human hope, against all of the facts of that are embedded in human understanding and human, relationships and, what it really occurs, against all that normal stuff, against all hope, in hope, he believed. When we talk about God being the God of hope, we're talking about, there's answers that we've never heard of before. There is wisdom we've never received before. There are ways of doing things that have never been done before. There is a path that we've never seen before. There's a door that we never knew would be opened. There's a guidance that we never thought we would, we've never experienced before. There's a visitation from God that we've never had in all of our lives. We're talking about God being the God of the God of the impossible. That nothing is impossible to them that believe, Jesus said. And so when Paul says this, he says it out of his experience, but also out of the Spirit of God's revelation, that God is the source of assured events, of hope, of possibilities. May the God of incredible possibilities fill you with all joy and peace. I love this. Because this is what, this is whom you are representing in the counseling. When people come in to share their issues and whatever else. There you are with God, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who helps us in all of our troubles. Okay. But he's also the God of hope, the God of incredible possibilities. Incredible possibilities. May the God of incredible, assured possibilities fill you with all joy and peace. Now, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give him life, zoe, the qualitative life that comes from heaven. Now, I really love this verse because it tells me that God's intent, look at the word filled. May he fill you. Man, your life can be filled with anguish. Your life can be filled with stress. Your life can be filled with worry. Listen, if your life is filled with worry for 5 days in a row, that affects you in every single way. Your emotions, your chemical system, your physical body, it affects how you operate, how you do things, how you can minister, how you can live life. You know, if you see people that are worried, their faces show it, or depressed, or they have other stresses in their life, or just a person that's frustrated with everything in life, they're frustrated, or even an angry person. Man, they're angry at everything. Well, listen, if you stay angry 5 days, or frustrated 5 days, or worried 5 days, it all has that catabolic effect in your life. God wants it to have anabolic. He wants it to have this life-lifting effect into your life that strengthens you body, soul, and spirit. Now, that's the intent that God has. And God has that kind of grace for everyone, obviously. He is the God of incredible possibilities. And it's this God who desires and loves to fill individuals, you and me, with all joy and peace. Now, here is part of the core of a lot of issues. Many people are coming to you in your sessions because their peace and joy, I mean, they don't have it. I dealt with a young Satanist out of Cleveland years ago that we were called to come up there and deal with him. He sat in the back seat, and I'll just call him Danny. That's not his real name. But Danny kept saying, you know, I'm going to be the next Black Pope. I'm going to be the top Satanist. I'm going to take over Anton LaVey. And he's going on and on about all the coven wars and powers and money and girls. And finally, I just looked in the mirror back at him, and I said, Danny, if you've got all this power and all these things and all this stuff you're boasting about, why in the world did you have this person call us to come up here and talk to you? Looking into that mirror of the car back at me, his face, his countenance went down, and he looked at me and said, because I have no joy. That was powerful. Let me tell you something. We ended up taking him to a church, which, because of the demonization of his life, he didn't want to go inside the building. We sat on the grass, began to talk to him, and share. We knew there was difficulties there with him. But finally, he came to the point of saying he wanted to accept Christ. And I said, I'll lead you in prayer, Lord Jesus Christ. And just as he started to say it, the demonic presence seized him and threw him to the ground. He grabbed his throat. He couldn't even get out the word Jesus. He was completely seized. Well, of course, we immediately prayed by the authority of Christ and broke that demonic power. Eventually, Danny cried out, Lord Jesus, you know, forgive me a sinner. Come into my life and be my Savior and Lord, and forgive me and wash me and cleanse me and deliver me and so forth, and fill me with your power. And after he prayed, then we prayed for him, and there was a great release of the demonic and an influx of the presence and power of God. You know what? Was amazing. Not only was he able to confess freely Jesus, not only did he know that something happened, there was an exchange that took place. From that point to the rest of the evening that we were with Danny, and we took him out to dinner afterwards with us and with the people that brought him there, and they were going to care for him and take him to church after that point. But as we were sitting there at dinner, one of my staff members said, one of my fellow workers said, man, I can't believe it. In the beginning, your face was, Your countenance was just burdened and sad and dark. Now it's bright, and there's just a joy and a smile. And you could see it. You could see it in his heart and face. I mean, what was on his face was shining up out of his heart. See, the Greek word for heart, kardia, is that's the center of our being, our will, our emotion, where we, our mind, where we, you know, make our, it's all where the choices, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart, accept Christ by faith, believe with your heart. You know, what's in your heart eventually affects your face. What's in your heart, which is your mental state. Affects your emotional state. And your mental and emotional state obviously will affect you from the inside out, and it can be seen on faces. It can literally be seen on faces, whether or not you're happy, whether or not you've got faith, whether or not you're excited about something, whether or not you have hope. divine optimism, a godly assurance of great possibilities. So when you see somebody that has hope, there's not the dreaded fear, the dreaded depression, as Paul talked about in that chapter in 2 Corinthians 1, the sentence of death could obviously affected them. And knowing Paul, even when there was that sense that they felt of great pressure far beyond their ability to even bear the pressure, they felt the sentence of death. Now, Paul's normal thing was to start singing hymns and praying to God. And obviously, in his situation, God, the God of hope, the God, the Father of compassion, that, you know, in that revelation, answered and delivered them. And that's what this is all about. May the God of hope, of this divine assured optimism, the God of enormous new and fresh and different possibilities, assured possibilities, may He fill you with all joy and peace. Now we'll get to the rest of it in a few moments. Let me ask you in question two, what is the goal of God in your life? The goal of Christ, that you might have life and life abundantly. Here we see that God, the God of hope, of divine possibilities, may fill you with all joy and peace. This is a tremendous thing. Now let me take you to question three, because let's look at three. What are the qualities or these effects of joy and peace? What effects do they have in your life? I mean, when you think in terms of what is all joy, how does that affect you? How does all peace inside affect you? Man, when somebody's filled, now this is the Greek word, filled is used 11 times in the book of Acts about filled with the Holy Spirit. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Look at the top three, okay? Obviously, God is the God of love. God is love, according to 1 John. God so loved the world. When we're filled with God, we're filled with the love of God, Ephesians chapter 3, that we might be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Christ would dwell, live in us by faith, that we would comprehend, experience, know the love of God, the height, width, depth, and length. Listen, the henoklos, so that we may, what? We may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now that's amazing! That your life and my life could be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Filled, filled, filled. I just made some coffee before I started this session. You may even hear me sneak a sip or two of that coffee. I love good coffee. I won't drink bad coffee, but I love good coffee. And that cup was filled. It's down halfway right now because I've taken in half of it already. Now listen, your stomach has a level of capacity. You can only put so much in there. And sad is the person that their eyes were bigger than their belly and they ate too much and they're stuffed and they're just literally in pain. I don't like that feel. I don't like to eat like that and be in pain, because your stomach only has a certain level of capacity. Your whole structure of being has a certain level a capacity. If the capacity is filled, if it's that you're filled with fear, well, obviously you can allow Satan to fill you too. I mean, read Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira, Peter says, "How you've lied to not to men but to God, to the Holy Spirit, and how'd you let Satan so fill your heart, so fill you?" And obviously that can happen. So we have the capacity to be filled from the inside out. To be filled with grief, to be filled with anguish, to be filled. It's okay to grieve at times. That's not going to be our normal thing. It's okay to be sad at times, to feel empathy for people. Those are the ways we respond in life, but the overall issue is to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, which is filled with the love of God. If the fruit of the Spirit is love, part of that evidence is you the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. The fruit of the Spirit comes out of you in your faith and obedient relationship to Christ. You don't try to go out and produce the fruit. The fruit is produced as you believe, as you obey. It flows through. your life. I don't worry about producing the fruit. God produces the fruit as I trust and as I obey. The fruit of the Spirit begins to flow through my life. So when I am filled with the Spirit of God, I am filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, so forth, self-control. Awesome, man. This is awesome that Christ would dwell in us. And from Him, the Spirit of God's power, presence, life would bring to us His radiance, His character. And that God's goal, I mean, that's God's goal, the fruit of the Spirit. How could anybody not want that? How can anybody not want that? Isn't that what people seek? I mean, listen, you see people, and I see stuff we see on television shows, whatever, stars, Britney Spears and all the rest of them. So many people, they need the peace of God. They need the peace. They need the joy. They end up in rehab places and in jail, and they end up trying to do drugs and alcohol and fill their lives with, I mean, even food addictions, sex addictions, television addictions, to dissociate life and to, you know, to live, you know, out of mind, out of sight. If I don't think about it, it won't affect me. Well, partially, you can run from your problems or you can run to the one who solves them and who desires right here and right now in my life, God, the God of divine possibilities, the God of assured possibilities, desires to fill me with all joy and peace. Wow. Joy and peace. Jesus said, anybody that believes in me, out of their inmost being would flow rivers, streams of living water, of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world does. Something comes from heaven, from God, from Christ. In our salvation, salvation is a joy. Salvation brings peace with God and peace inside of ourselves. Walking in the Spirit is, you know, living, you know, Romans 8, living in the Spirit in obedience to the Lord. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. So that's what God wants to bring in our lives. And sometimes believers get outside the will of God, or they get other things going on, or spiritual warfare, or whatever else. And we need to be brought back. So part of the counseling issue is bringing people back to ultimately what God desires. Now, the Roman church had a lot of things going on. And by chapter 15, Paul, by the Spirit of God, has already addressed a number of the issues in that Roman church. Issues between Jews and Gentiles, both who are now Christians. Issues with the state of Rome. Issues with the salvation by faith and not by works. You know, and on and on. And by this time now, with all the other things that he said, he's simply just pouring out a blessing. May the God of assured divine optimism and possibilities fill you with all joy and hope. Because that's what he wants to do. That's what he's all about. And thank the Lord for that. He loves that. He loves, you know, as a good father, I love to see my little daughter happy. I love to see my little daughter when she, you know, to have peace in her life. I love to make sure she's guarded. You know, I watch out the back door in our acre in the old house we lived at, and, you know, it didn't have any fencing, and, you know, we're out in the country, and I want to make sure there's no stray dogs that will come over. The neighbor had dogs, and I want to make sure that dog didn't come over and get my daughter, so I'm looking out for her, even when she's laughing and playing and swinging on the swing that I built her. Man, when I built her that swing, and she'd get on that little swing and just swing, and she'd have this big smile in her heart. I tell you what, I'll build 1,000 swings. I'd build a swing for any child to see that kind of a smile. Can I tell you something? God is so good. He loves that we're happy, that we are filled with joy, that He comes to bless. Yes, we have difficulties and things that occur in life, but that's part of the reason of the ministry He brings to counteract the results of sin, the attacks of Satan, and the fallen world around us. Well, as you take a look at question 4, what is your part? Obviously, in this verse, there's a clear part. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. As you trust in Him. Now, Jesus said in the gospel one time, according to your faith, so be it unto you. I likened it to a window. And this is what counselees need to know, that when they come to trust Christ, yes, you can trust him very weakly. I mean, just, you know, barely trusting him. And that's good, but you can trust him more. The idea of, I think of it in terms of opening a window. You know, I'm inside a stuffy, you know, this office, there's one little tiny window that goes to the outside. Well, if I open that window, you know, there's a lot of fresh air. It's 72 degrees, beautiful fresh air outside. If I open that window just a little bit, guess what? A little bit of that air. I've given enough room for a little bit of that beautiful fresh air to come in. If I open it 2 inches, I've given it more room. If I've opened it all the way, if I open that window all the way, I can literally feel the fresh air flowing in down under my face, flowing all over me, coming into that room and dispelling that stale air that has not moved and so forth for days. Well, faith is like pushing open a window. If you think in terms of faith as a window. And, you know, God's on the other side of that window with all joy and all peace and with the possibilities and the divine optimism. His presence is packed with divine optimism. His presence is packed with hope that there's possibilities, that there's new horizons, that there's new doors, a path we've never seen, an answer that we've never heard of before, that God has a way. And that's what his very presence is. You know, to be filled with God is to be filled with, hey, there's an answer. Hey, there's hope, optimism. There's a new day. The glass isn't half filled, man. It's not half empty. It's half filled. And it can be filled up even more. And God desires to fill it up all the way. As a matter of fact, that's the idea that God may fill you. Listen, that you might be filled to the measure, to the capacity. That's the will of God, Ephesians chapter 3. So when you think in terms of, well, if I have a little teeny tiny taste of joy, that's good enough. No, it's not. If I have a little teeny tiny taste of peace, that's good enough. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's why I'm saying your experience with God, your experience, your walk, your reception of the grace of God, the mercy of God. Listen, when John's Gospel chapter 1 says he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to them, to those that did receive him, that believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, you know, born of God. So I'm saying receive all the grace of God. Receive all the forgiveness and all the goodness and all this work of the Spirit and the grace of, you know. And so I'm saying, what is God's will? Ephesians 5, it's the will of God to be filled with the Spirit of God, to sing songs and thanksgiving, to overflow. That's the will of God. That's the will of God, to give thanks in all circumstances, 1 Thessalonians 5. And so when you see the will of God and walk in the will of God, guess what? Then God operates. That's like opening the window more and more and more and more for God. And as you open the window of faith, open the window in obedience, obviously you will experience the manifest activity, presence, power, effects of the grace and mercy of God. So much so that God desires to push in that window. He's pushing on that window for you to open it. And when you believe him and receive, God's come to fill you with Christ. And the results of the being filled with Christ is to be filled, you know, with the Spirit, to be filled with joy, to be filled with peace. But notice what it says, as you trust in him. As you trust in him. It's possible to sometimes lower your shield of faith. That's why we read Ephesians chapter 6, to lift up the shield of faith, to extinguish all the flaming arrows, all the lies and oppressive and depressing things of the enemy. How do you do that? Lift up the shield of faith. Put your faith up in every verse of Scripture, every word of God. Trust God right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that's what's going to happen with a lot of counselees that come in. You know, because when God is filling you, he's literally filling you, the God of hope, the God of divine optimism, the God of tremendous possibilities. His very presence in your life is speaking possibilities, open doors, new things. God has wisdom. God has a way. He's the Father of compassion. And you have joy and peace in your life. That itself is ministry to a depressed, hopeless person. got a phone call one time. My father called, and this is when he wasn't even a believer, but he asked if I would come and talk to his friend's daughter who had shot herself with a gun, tried to kill herself. Well, I went over to see her. I walked into the door. They led me down the hallway. I went into this room where she was sitting, and she had a sling in her shoulder up where she'd been shot, and she shot herself, I think, towards the shoulder, obviously missing her heart and everything else. But anyways, I walked in and began to talk with her, she just looking at me, and then out of her mouth she just said, You've got great peace. Something she did not have. I want to give you a confession. Over 30 years ago, I got saved, but probably a few years before I got saved, when I went to Youth for Christ meetings at the high school as an unsaved troublemaker, there was a Youth for Christ director, Christian, named Dale, and when I would see Dale, I would avoid him because he had something in him that I didn't know about. But one thing I knew about Dale, even when I went there sometimes drunk and whatever else, just because girls were there, I always knew that he had a peace, that he had something in his life that I didn't have, that he had something going on that I never experienced. And I was reminded of that even the night that I got saved and the peace of God rushed into my life in Christ. Counselor, pastor, friend, listen, Christian, this is what I'm sharing as far as the intent of God in your life. All of what he has for you in your life will flow over. It will flow over into your counseling and ministry to others. If you're filled with Christ, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, exhibiting, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, obviously your life is happy and there is something going on in your life. And that can be like Paul and Silas in prison. They're singing hymns and praying to God while they're in this old, stinking, rotting, Roman prison. And obviously the jailer's listening. And finally, when God answers by miracle, something, again, he understands God is the God of divine possibilities. And God did something that they never had happened before. An earthquake occurred. All the jail cells opened up. It was a remarkable, providential, miraculous event that was in direct relationship to the lifting up of their faith. They were, by singing the praises, that was faith in action. By praying to God, that was faith in action. You know what? Perseverance is faith in action. Praising God, man, is like someone called it a spark plug to faith. An igniter of faith. Well, praising God is just direct relationship, and praise is like preaching messages to ourselves. How great thou art, and amazing grace, and I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, and all hail the power of Jesus' name, and on and on and on of songs that you know, that literally worship fills us with the God of hope, fills us with joy, and fills us with the peace of Christ as you trust in him. Are you trusting? Do you believe him? Do you accept by faith that he loves you? Do you accept by faith that the word of God is true? Do you accept by faith that you've been forgiven? Do you accept by faith the Spirit of God's inside of you? Do you accept by faith that he'll guide you? Do you accept by faith that he'll work things out? Do you accept by faith that he'll answer prayer? Listen, you know what? According to your faith, so be it unto you. If you open that window of faith just an inch, you're letting God come in. He wants to. Just like the fresh air on the outside, that air is bursting to come in here. And I crack that window open. I begin to feel the flow of that fresh air coming in. But buddy, when I open that window all the way, wow, I've given that wind and that air, that fresh air, all the room it needs. And when you believe God fully, trust in the Lord with all your heart, you have opened the window wide for God to operate in your life. And you know what he's going to operate? He's going to operate by filling you with joy, filling you with peace, simply as you trust. Now, there's things that I have that I don't have answers to in my life. You know, like right now, there's things I'm praying about. I've been praying over 20 years, spiritual awakening, the strike in the context of the great historic, you know, awakenings in England and so forth, the United States, and revival. I believe God for that. That's what's necessary. And I pray for that. And sometimes I agonize for the souls of men and pray and crap my prayers. And we do reap trips and take trips to cities all over around here, praying and praying and praying. For what? The God who cares about cities. The God of hope. The God of divine possibilities. That people would get saved and be filled with Christ and hope and joy and the peace of God. But again, it's as I trust in Him. That's the reason I do it. Because I believe that's what His will is. That He's not willing anybody perish. So, according to your own trust, your faith can waver, your faith can be weak, but your faith can grow, my friend. And this is what's going to be done with people who are you're counseling with. You're going to be drawing them, giving them the word of faith, giving them testimonies of what God has done, letting them see what's going on in your life, telling them about other lives. You know, the Bible in Romans 10 is called the word of faith. You give a scripture. The Holy Spirit gives you a particular verse to give, to put right into somebody's heart and mind. And all of a sudden, their ability to believe God, to trust God is lifted up. Nobody gets saved without the word of faith either, by the way. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so saturate yourself with the word of God. See what God does. See what God is like. See how God answers. And so I have a great assurance, a great hope, divine optimism when it comes to God answering and stepping into lives because I've read the Psalms again and again and again. And I've read how people in great trouble seek God, look for God, cry out to God, and in every case, God comes in with an answer. So when I think in terms of may the God of hope, divine possibilities, new doors, wisdom, word, may this God of incredible divine optimism fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Boy, I'm praying something good for you, and you're praying good for something for counselees, because this is what God does. This is what God wants. God is good. And this is what He wants. But let me tell you something. The end result of this is very good. Okay, and we're still on page 6. What is your part? Of course, trust in Him. That's the condition. You know, as far as salvation, God offers salvation, the forgiveness, eternal life, friendship. Repent and believe. There has to be a repentance and a believing of the gospel. And as you grow as a believer, listen, you can study James chapter 1. You know, count it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance, when it's finished its work, you know, brings about a person that's complete, not lacking anything. But listen, in the context of those troubles, and you're starting to count it joy that He's going to work in your life in a great way, well, in the context of that, ask God for wisdom. He is generous, not finding fault with everybody. But when you ask, you must believe. You must believe. Matter of fact, in the context, all the way to verse 6, you know, the doubter. Listen, if you're a Christian, a Christian, even when you have counselees, you can tell them the word of God. Listen, if they're going to live in doubt, they're not going to get the good things of God. Because they don't trust God. They don't open the window to God. Trust is opening the window. And when we keep the window shut, or we open it for a second, close it, open it for a second, close it, open it for a second, and close it, that's doubt. And God's waiting for you to open it. And says, let not the doubter, that person, think they'll receive anything from God. You can give them the best. You can lead the horse to the water. You can lead them to the edges of heaven. You can lead them to the face of God. You can lead them to compassion. You can pray all over them. You can tell them every story of faith that occurred in your life. But if they will not believe, if they will not open up to God, it's on their shoulders, my friend. It's on their shoulders. They're not going to let God in. That's like salvation, when I've shared with people and told them and urged them sought to demonstrate the grace and mercy and peace and love of God and salvation and the glories of salvation. And I remember sharing with this one guy and went through a gospel track, and we came to the end. You know, do you want to receive Christ right now and let Him come into your life? He slammed the booklet shut and yelled out, no, and he walked away. And I've never seen him since. And he did not receive the grace of God. He did not experience the love of God. So there is condition. As you trust in Him, Now notice, this here's the good side of this. And you can, because listen, the word of God gives faith. You can. It's been granted on you not only to suffer, like it says in Philippians 3, but also to trust. You're able to trust in him. And so by faith, by the word of God, we're enabled to believe, because it's the word of faith. And so as you do believe, the window, you're opening the window wider, and God is operating. That's just a spiritual law. And as you trust in him, it's impossible to please God without faith. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He not only wants you to believe that he is, but he wants you to believe that he is, and that he is good, that he does bring reward, that he does bring blessing. Because that's who he is what he does, and what he does is who he is. That's theology. Inseparable. He's not just good. He's not a picture with a halo around his head, and it all looks good, but there's nothing operative in my heart. You ever see fake food? You go to a restaurant, and you're coming by where the pies are, and it shows all these pies and desserts, and you realize that it's all fake. It looks great, and it's supposed to entice you to purchase the real thing. God doesn't have anything fake to offer. What he offers, he is. And what he is, he offers. One and the same. So when we read this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Listen, so as you trust in him, guess what happens? Look at the result of this. The result that is really embedded in your character. If you're trusting him, Christ, consistently trusting him along the way, guess what's embedded into your character? It was embedded in Paul's character. Look what it says. So that you may overflow with hope. The same word. That you may overflow with divine optimism. That you may overflow with the assured possibilities that come from God. Literally the presence of God in your life causes you to... Look at the word overflows. You know, when somebody fills my cup of coffee up, you expect to go just to the top. But man, when it overflows. I loved it in high school when we'd go through the line and, you know, the people, the lunch people would give you a scoop of this, a scoop of that. And when we always would come through and try to make friends with some of them people, they would put like an extra scoop and a little, you know, more. And always appreciated that. But here's where God desires that you and I can overflow. Can you imagine walking into the room? Emanating from your life is what's in your heart. Your experience with God, the God of hope, of enormous possibilities, divine optimism, divine answers, divine wisdom, divine new doors, and just God, you know, God's packed with that level of that optimism, and that optimism flows into your life. As you trust, when you're filled with all joy and peace, and as you trust in Christ, God will cause you to overflow, spill up out through your emotions. It'll be in your speech. It'll be in your eyes. It'll be in the spring in your step. Literally, the presence and the fullness of God in a believer's life affects you body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. The end result of counseling isn't that we just deal with problems all the time. If you're filled with the hope that comes from God, the presence of God, hope. If you're filled with hope, listen, you know what? Then counseling has divine optimism in it. Counseling has this sense of assured possibilities that there's not a single problem, trouble that can outweigh the enormous, infinite impact of the possibilities, mercy, grace, and wisdom and word and what God is and can do. God is just glorious. God can do things. God has done things. God will do things. And so when you walk into the room and you're filled to the point of overflowing with hope look at the resource. The last question is, by what power is this done? Not New Age spirits. Not Sigmund Freud. This is about the power of the Spirit of God. Listen, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes into your life as the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Christ. And listen, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, filled with joy, filled with peace, filled with His love, listen, as you trust in Him, God causes an overflow. The Greek word filled anyway has the idea of a experiential, conscious level of being filled up to the brim to where it begins to pour out over top of the brim. And literally, listen, Spirit-filled individuals filled with the hope of God, filled with this divine optimism of God, which is His intent and His goal in our lives, as we trust and walk in obedience to Him. Listen, you know what? I believe that literally it can be felt by others around you. That the listen, have you been around somebody who's filled with fear? Fear is transferable. Anxiety, depression, frustration, anger. You can feel it coming from a person, because that's what they're filled with. And obviously, when I've dealt with demonized people, when there's a manifestation, they're filled with a demon, there's no question, I can feel that horrible presence. But you know what? When I'm filled with Christ, when I'm filled with the love and joy and peace of Jesus, when I'm filled with the divine optimism of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, when I'm overflowing with that optimism, when I'm overflowing with that divine possibilities of Christ and all of what He is and does and says, people are going to see it, they're going to feel it, they're going to know it. Matter of fact, that even is a cause for faith. Have you ever seen, literally, think about it in your own experience, a person that you know that's just filled with Christ? They're just filled with the love of Jesus. When you see them, you're inspired to believe like, when you see them, you want to be more like them. You ever see somebody like that as a believer? Listen, that's what God intends for all of us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you, did you hear me? That you and every counselee you ever have, that's the will of God, that you and they would overflow with this divine optimism by the power, the supernatural power, presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Now, you know what I love? We look into a world right now that there's, listen, politically and sociologically and ecologically and economically and all kinds of things, there's chaos and fear and whatever else. And I listen to a lot of the conspiracies and things and people and end time stuff. And we deal with a lot of it. We deal with a lot of all the dark side of stuff. But you know what I know? A lot of that motivates me to bring out the love of God, to bring out the hope of God. God is the hope of the world. He's got the answers. And Christ is going to bring them. And part of the reason we see what's happening is that, and the reason the devil gets so much room and Satan gets so much room and war gets so much room and murders and all that junk and killings and spouses, because people sin. Because people sin. Because they reject the grace. They reject the will of God, and they do their own thing. They do what the enemy wants. They do what the sin leads them to do. And so there's hell to pay. And some people are going to live in their pain. They're going to live in their anger. That's why they kill. That's why they maim. That's why they rape. That's why they hurt. That's why they have broken relationships. That's why they drink. That's why they just go and pack their bellies with food all day long to comfort themselves somehow. That's why they live in dissociation. When you're filled with Christ, you don't need to dissociate. Because you can know from the past, the present, or the future. Any troubles, the God, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, He can comfort you in all those troubles. And that when you're filled with God, God's very presence emanates infinite possibility, infinite help, new days of mercy. His mercies are new every day, right? His mercies are new every day. How great is the mercy of God? James chapter 5 talks about the mercy of God and the judgment of God. It says mercy triumphs over judgment. Literally, it dances all over, exalts and dances over judgment. Mercy is so great, so wide, so blessed. Do we deserve it? Don't be like one of those Pharisees that think counselees don't deserve it. My wife has counseled young ladies and women for over 10 years at the Akron Pregnancy Services. There, they have helped save hundreds and hundreds of babies from abortion. There, they have counseled ladies who've had abortions that come in from other clinics with the aftermath of phantom motherhood. There, they've come through classes and inner healing and support groups to be shared the truth and to find out that Jesus forgives and that there's a cleansing and that their baby that they aborted is in heaven, protected by God. Oh, my friend, let me tell you. Well, I want you to just end up on page 7. Page 7. It is the nature and character of God that is at the heart of counseling. It is what He is, says, and does that matters. So something you could do for this week or, you know, within the next couple of days before the next session, what do you see in the book of Psalms that demonstrates the God of hope and help? You'll have to answer that. What do you see in the book of Proverbs that demonstrates the God of hope and help? In the Gospels, Jesus is God in human flesh. How do you see Jesus in those Gospels as the God of hope and help? I mean, study the Gospel of Mark this week and you're going to see God as the God of hope and help. God has answers. Even when Lazarus was dead and they were hopeless because they said, Jesus, if you'd have been here sooner, you could have helped him. But, you know, basically all hope is gone. Lazarus is dead. He's been in the grave now all these days and he's gone. But if you would have been here earlier... Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man walks. That's the God of hope that you're talking about. That's the God that's dwelling inside of you. That's the expressed, manifest presence of the Holy Spirit flowing through you, that nothing stands in the way of God. Not creation. When he commands creation, be still. And the winds and the waves obey him. We're talking about God, the God of hope, divine optimism, operating in your life with answers for people that come from God, with activity, action, the erge, the works of God. Do you see God, the God of hope and help in the book of Acts? Gosh, read chapter 2, 4, 6, and 8, and you're going to see the operation of the God of hope operating in the book of Acts. Well, at the end of page 7, we have this. Theocentric counseling comes down to the nature, character of God, the words of God, and the acts and or works of God. From God in His self-revelation and our personal experience with Him, His character, words, and works, will come a confidence and competence in helping others. May God richly bless you right now. May the God of hope cause you to experience being filled with all joy and peace as you trust Him with the expressed purpose that you would overflow with a hope, divine, assured, optimistic possibilities, answers, divine optimism, that you would overflow with that hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Grace and peace to you. May the God of hope demonstrate, and may you be a exhibit of this divine optimism, this hope flowing through your life, through the answers, instruction, and all that you give the counselees. You are in the arena of the miraculous in ministering to people without the hope that you have. God bless you. And I'll see you in session 3. This is Russ Dizdar, Theocentric Counseling Foundational Course, session 2. ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless.